listening to Retheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 66. This minute begins with Holloway discovering a worm in his eye, and ends with the crew returning to the pyramid to rescue Milburn and Fifield. So since we last spoke, and I do consider this a conversation with you, my friend, except I talk incessantly and you never say anything, and to be honest, that's not unlike a conversation with me in real life. Anyway, since the last episode, some discoveries have been made about Holloway's tattoo. First of all, this is Logan Marshall Green's actual tattoo. It is a similar but different symbol of unknown origin. I think it's still worth diving into the symbolism here, even if it was a feature of the actor and not the character. I mean, we could say it's both. Listener Michael Giammarino linked me to the discussion about Holloway's tattoo. And thanks for that. I honestly don't think it would have occurred to me to look closer otherwise. I just went, it's a cross, moving on. Upon closer inspection, it is evidently a T shape topped with a backwards facing S, or perhaps a kind of stylized flame symbol. User Henry Chinaski on the Sci-Fi Ed forum says, "It's not a cross. When there was a profile shot of him looking in the mirror, the tattoo was a T or a tau with an S-looking shape, possibly a letter or a flame, above it that made it look like a cross at a glance. I've been trying to find info out on the symbol, and so far have only found info on the tau, nothing on the S or flame shape directly above the tau, or what the two symbols mean in combination. The most interesting info I could find on the tau was the tau also stands for Talion law. Talion, Latin lex talionis, principle developed in early Babylonian law and present in both biblical and early Roman law, that criminals should receive as punishment precisely those injuries and damages they had inflicted upon their victims. Many societies applied this eye for an eye principle literally." Well, the eye for an eye thing certainly does work for Holloway's story. Exploring further, it seems the tau was a symbol of life, while theta was a symbol of death. The Franciscan order wear taus, much like crosses. It is their equivalent symbol. So, that takes us right back to where we started, with the symbol of religious connotation, according to Franciscans.ie. It was adopted by the very first Christians for twofold reason. As the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it prophesied the last day, and had the same function as the Greek letter omega, as it appears in the book of Revelation. The Christians adopted the tau because its form reminded them of the cross on which Christ was immolated for the salvation of the world. As for the backwards S, this is a letter of the Latin alphabet. That's about it. No deeper meaning as far as I could see. I did as much of a deep dive into this as I could. I even drew the symbol in Photoshop and ran it through Google Images. It didn't find anything similar. I can come to no real conclusions then, unless someone knows Logan and can ask him. I did send an email to the makeup artist. I wish I'd waited a little longer because I didn't know it was Logan's tattoo at the time. Oh well, but hey, if she does get back to me, she may be able to tell me what it means and why they decided to keep it visible. It seems odd to me for a production this detailed to overlook a tattoo like that. There must surely have been discussions about it. And they must have known the symbol would be interpreted by most viewers to be a cross. So I think we must turn to Occam's razor here. If it looks like a cross at a glance, it's probably a cross. Maybe simply a stylized one. Friend of the show, Steph, can at least help us with what it's not. She suggests it's not likely a zodiac symbol. It's not of a fraternity. It's not proto-cuneiform, Indus Valley, Ogham, or even Chinese oracle bones. It might be alchemical. There's a few symbols that look similar. It may have taken some inspirational origin from those symbols. But okay, let's assume that it is a cross, and the filmmakers decided not to cover it. Why? Well, it serves to inform the character. It implies he has had a history with Christianity that he has since turned his back on. It explains his cynicism and the arguments between Shaw and himself. But what if it is a tau? Well, it also has religious connotations. If the S is actually meant to be a flame, that makes it something close to the symbol of the Methodist Church. The other suggestion of Talion lore seems very unlikely, though serves as a bit of a cheeky reference to Holloway's fate. Perhaps it's something that has a personal significance to Logan. It might be a symbol he or someone he's connected to created. Ultimately, we can never know unless I can figure out a way to contact Logan. I mean, Kevin Bacon theory. The 6 degrees of separation between him and I, somehow. Probably. And with all this religious conversation, I figured now would be a good time to drop all this trivia on you that's just sort of been sitting in my notes for a while. It's about time we examined what LV-223 and LV-426 might possibly mean. I mean, they could just be random letters and numbers that Dan O'Bannon picked out and thought they were cool. And yeah, maybe I am overthinking this a little bit, but you know what? You're 66 minutes into listening to a minute-by-minute review of this movie, so I'm going to assume you're ride or die. You are here for this kind of over-analysis. Here we go. Hold on to your butts. So LV, the most relevant usage of those letters would have to be in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus. You know, it's got the LV, and then it's followed by three numerals. So might just be coincidence, but we don't accept coincidences here on Prometheus by a Minute. Leviticus 2:23 in the Bible goes like this. In all future generations, if any of your descendants is ceremonially unclean when he approaches the sacred offerings that the people of Israel consecrate to the Lord, he must be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And LV-426 is, then he must send all of the fat up in smoke, just as he does when a sacrifice is offered to ask my blessing. By this sacrifice, the leader's sin will be forgiven. So Leviticus is mostly God's communications with Moses and laws pertaining to priests, and all the instructions on worship and all of that. So the content of these passages doesn't surprise me. I don't see much relevance in LV-426, but there's undeniable importance in LV-223. 223 speaks of descendants being cut off from God for being ceremonially unclean. Perfect for Prometheus. But sacrifices made in order to be forgiven of sin isn't exactly relevant to Alien. We cut to Shaw in bed, answering Yannick over comms. As we mentioned in the previous minute, Shaw is lying in a pose remarkably similar to the woman in Henry Fuseli's painting The Nightmare. She's still wearing her top, but nothing on her lower half aside from a blanket bunched around her crotch. It's a very purposely staged image. She also lies across the bed along its width rather than the length. Again, purposeful. If she had her head on the pillow, it would have been an unflattering angle. Everything about this scene in the past few minutes has been framing her as angelic, the white costume, the soft lighting. Where she's covered, clearly the filmmakers are trying to show off as much of their actress as they can without showing too much. I mean, Numi is well fit, and her abdomen is pretty impressive. It also allows her to move through the scene without awkwardly trying to hold the sheet over her. She just sits up, swings her legs over the side of the bed, and puts some pants on. It wouldn't make sense for her to be modest around her partner. It would make sense for her to hold a sheet over her breast. Why would she do that? While this is a bit of objectification, I'll give Prometheus credit. It's fairly equal opportunity. Both men and women are seen in various states of undress, and none of the women seem depowered after having sex. If you'll recall, in the Paradise script, David was going to be nude for a scene where he's alone on the ship, washing his clothes. There's nothing in Prometheus that is nearly so controversial as the undies scene in Alien. I personally never saw that scene as sexy. I mean, Sigourney Weaver looks great, of course, but I spent the whole time just wondering why she's wearing underwear that's too small for her. Isn't that uncomfortable? Were they her daughter's undies she packed by accident? Oh, and then of course I'm also focusing on the terrifying and shit xenomorph, so Ripley's attire is the least of my concerns. It's interesting that despite being hard-rated horror movies about sexual imagery, there's not a lot of actual sexuality in the Alien franchise. Alien Covenant is maybe the only example of a cliché makeout scene, the one in the shower. I know the last act of that movie is controversial, and I shall not share my opinion just yet. I'll get to it one day. But Prometheus just implies characters took the train to Bonetown. You never actually see anything. Interesting. Yannick decides to go down and retrieve Fifield and Milburn himself. He takes Chance with him. This does not make much sense. The captain should never leave the ship. Unless your name is James T. Kirk. And then you take one of your pilots with you? They have no idea what has happened in the pyramid. Something could kill Yannick and Chance, and then you're left with only Ravel to pilot the ship back to Earth. Which, as far as I can tell, seems like more than a one-man job. I mean, okay, maybe David can help you out. But, that ties back into my usual argument of, why don't you just send a heap of androids to do this job? Why deal with humans? Waylon doesn't like people. Just send a bunch of androids. Anyway, it's irresponsible to, if you do have human pilots and captains, to send those human pilots and captains into a place you don't know is safe or not. I can't think of any reason for Yannick to get involved here other than maybe to give Idris more to do. He wasn't a big name at the time, but this was peak popularity for his show Luther, which, if I've not mentioned before, is one of my favourite shows ever. That's basically the only justification I can think of. And it's really not the most egregious example of an actor negotiating for more screen time. Apparently, for Bohemian Rhapsody, the surviving members of Queen wanted their quote-unquote characters to have equal screen time. The result is the most epileptic editing you've ever seen. But you know what, who am I to complain about more Idris Elba in Prometheus? As a crew prepare to disembark, Yannick ventures a malfunctioning probe. David offers to repair it, Yannick agrees. So David now has a perfect cover to be absent from the rest of the party. I wonder though, if Yannick hadn't mentioned that, I'm sure David's already aware of it, so would he have brought it up? Was he just waiting for an opportunity? It's one of those things that it flows so smoothly in the script, but if you step back and go, well, what are the chances that would have happened that way? But, I mean, those weird coincidences and synchronicities happen in real life, so, I'm not criticizing. I'm just pointing it out. David bids the team goodbye and says, be careful, doctors, in the most sarcastic way. The only time we hear David speaking in an earnest tone is when he's talking about his interests, his admiration for the engineers and later for his creations. There's an undeniable passion in his voice. And when he talks to Walter, I think that's the most real David ever gets with another person. Another example would be, and of course we've discussed this minute before, but I'll mention it again, where he quotes Lawrence of Arabia and he says, oh, just something from a film I like. He's quite genuine there. He's not like, dumb bitch, don't you watch movies? God damn. Alright. That about covers it. I think what I love most about this podcast is that from episode to episode, I never know where it's going to take me. Who would have thought I'd spend so much time researching and discussing a tattoo? You never know what's going to give you the most material. And honestly, I found the tattoo situation fascinating because for some fans, this small detail stood out to them and took on meaning. It's made me really wonder if every image we see in a film has meaning behind it, and if not, is it still valid if it informs the viewer's experience? A director like Stanley Kubrick certainly controlled every tiny element in the frame, and while Ridley has a great attention to detail, we might have to imagine the possibility that he didn't consider the tattoo or didn't consider what the tattoo might say about the character. So then, is it a mistake? Or can I use this as evidence for my interpretation of the character? There have been many cases where art critics have been fooled by children's paintings, painted by monkeys, even a pair of glasses left on the floor. Humans can ascribe meaning to just about anything, and there's no way to quantify it. Why am I doing this podcast then? What does it all mean? Why do I bother? What is real? What is life? Anyway, that about covers it. I'm just going to have an existential crisis. This is Coulson signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TravianDesigns, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.